end of the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can find all of that at www.hishardline.com. That's hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host with our sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, and in the captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is an EDU podcast, lesson number 9, called Representative Government from the Field Training Manual 2000-25. And today's reading will be out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And my daily disclaimer, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. Additionally, I am not the official face or voice of any national, state, or county General Jural Assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of you and your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. So, as we approach the completion of reading the Field Manual 2000-25 for the second time on this podcast, it's crucial to ponder the question, why am I investing the time to revisit this manual a couple different times on the air? Now, personally, this will be my fourth time. I've read this now 4 times, or at least it will be 4 times when I complete this round of reading. And there's an undeniable sense that events this year will be bringing more military operations to the forefront and making them a little bit more conspicuous to the average person who may not be really aware of some of the underlying dynamics of what's going on. Now, these developments are poised to unsettle, I think, many people who lack insight into what's unfolding. And the reason for digging into this manual is very clear. Because, like I've continuously keep telling you, it serves as the blueprint for restoring a Republican form of government. This plan, long in the making, since the 1950s, it outlines how the military will exclude or execute and has been executing its role. Now, remember, this field training manual was released by the War Department in 1928, but General Douglas MacArthur was the one that ultimately started getting this this field manual in the hands of special, I guess you could call it special forces of their time, right? He handpicked some of the brightest service members in the military and trained them on this field training manual, hence commencing Operation Restore America. The Restore America plan, Operation Blue Book. And so with anticipated shifts post the de facto presidential election coming up, I think we're going to be seeing some significant changes on the horizon here for America. Now, some of this stuff could happen even before the election. I don't know. This is just speculation. But what's the goal here? Well, the goal overall is to return the power back to the people, as it should have always been centuries ago. Yet the formidable corporate elite cabal, with its vast resources and reach, has subjugated the populace keeping them suppressed, keeping them sleepy, keeping them fat and happy with bread and circus. Now, fortunately, through military intervention and the guidance of the Field Manual 2000-25, along with the 21 requisitions that were issued to the military from the Michigan General Assembly, there's actionable steps that have been taken to dismantle this oppressive power structure. Now, this is why documents like the Field Manual 2000-25 released by the Army are essential. This is why FDR tried so very hard to eliminate its existence. They provide insight into, again, restoring, when I say they, the book, the manual, it provides insight into restoring a Republican form of government from a democracy. So basically, that's what this does. It restores a country back to the Republic from a democracy, which is a very vital distinction, as America's governance should have always been a Republican in nature. So moving forward, apathy and complacency have no place here, ladies and gentlemen. Apathy and complacency have no room going forward. Active engagement in self-governance is imperative, ensuring that the principles of freedom and sovereignty of the people endure. Now, before we get into lesson 9, let's get into Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who lived in a land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, and they rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as they exult when dividing the spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. For every boot that tramped in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful upon David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And that is the reading of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. So, have you ever found yourself in a very dark place, weighed down by burdens that oftentimes seem too heavy to bear? I know I have. And maybe it's the struggles of daily life that we deal with, right? The pressures of work or the weight of past mistakes that hang over you kind of like a shadow. I know I've been there myself. But in the middle of our darkest moments, right, and our darkness in general, there is hope, because what we just read here in Isaiah speaks of a great light that shines upon those who walk in darkness, bringing joy and freedom. It's a light that dispels the shadows and lifts the heavy burdens off our shoulders. Now, for me, that light, the only light, is Jesus. And see, what you got to remember, folks, is that Jesus is more than just a historical figure or a distant hope. He's much more than that. He's a present-day reality. He's a source of strength and peace, especially in my life. At least that's what he represents in my life. And I'm sure if you follow this platform, I'm sure you are probably in the same boat as me. And when I feel overwhelmed, when I can't see a way forward, and believe me, it happens more times than you think, I turn to him and find comfort in his presence. I ask him to be in my heart. See, Isaiah described him as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. See, these aren't just lofty titles. These are descriptions of who he is. To me, he's a friend. So Sorry, just lost my spot because I got distracted. Something was flashing behind me. I was wondering what it was. But, you know, he's a friend who walks beside us through every trial and triumph that we go through. And he's not just there for me. He's there for you. He's there for your kids, your spouse. And I think he's calling all of us to be a light in the darkness for others. He's calling us to extend love and compassion, to seek justice and righteousness in a world that so desperately needs it. We need to embrace that light of Christ in our lives. We need to invite Jesus in our hearts. We need to allow his love to radiate our hearts and guide our every step, each and every day. That's one thing I'm always asking Jesus to do. Please guide my steps, guide my thoughts, guide my words, guide my actions. May they be in sync with your perfect will. So, I hope we can all live each day with the zeal and passion of those who walk in the light, knowing that his kingdom is vast and forever peaceful, both now and for all eternity. Now, for lesson 9 of the Field Manual 2000-25, this is called representative government. It's a little bit of a long one. All right, it's a little bit of a long one. So, hope you got a cup of coffee or some tea, or maybe a nice good cold glass of water. So buckle up. We're going to be here for a little minute. So starting with section 118 and lesson 9. Early forms of government. Until the 18th century, the world had little experience with republics. In the ancient world, Greece and Rome furnished early examples of attempts to form democratic governments. In Grecian cities, popular government was practiced with the free people directly making the laws. In Rome, the townsman passed laws to his own advantage. And in the so-called Venetian Republic, the power was vested in a few nobles. Now, after the failure of many experiments in free government, the ancient world turned to monarchy, believing that the people were unfit to govern themselves. For centuries, political revolutions were struggles for better government rather than self-government. Now, at the time of the Revolutionary War, the republican form of government was discredited throughout the world, with monarchy and oligarchy being considered the proper forms of good government. Section 119, representative government. The American experiment. Now, a few races qualified themselves for self-government. To establish that form of government was a long, hard struggle which culminated in the Great American Experiment. The United States set up a distinct and different form of government, the product of distinct racial stacks and centuries spent in learning the principles and art of self-government. In practice, our form of government is most nearly perfect in securing individual rights and ensuring the blessings of liberty. It differs from previous forms in certain vital and fundamental principles, which have come to be known as American institutions. Among these is that of self-government by representation, which is the golden mean between autocracy and democracy. Section 120, comparative analysis. The following comparative analysis shows the principal characteristics of the three forms of government. The first one, autocracy. So with an autocracy, you have authority derived through heredity. People have no choice in the selection of their rulers and no voice in making of the laws. Results in arbitrariness, tyranny, and oppression. The attitude toward property is feudalistic, and attitude toward law is that the will of the ruler shall control regardless of reason or consequence. Then there's democracy. Boo. With a democracy, it's a government of the masses. Authority derived through mass meeting or any other form of direct expression. Results in mobocracy. Attitude toward property is communistic and negating property rights. And attitude toward law is that the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it be based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, and impulse without restraint or regard to consequences. The results in demagogism, license, agitation, discontent, and anarchy. And then you have what's called the Republic. The Republic is derived through the election by the people of public officials best fitted to represent them. The attitude toward property is respect for laws and individual rights and a sensible economic procedure. Attitude toward law is the administration of justice in accord with fixed principles and established evidence with a strict regard to consequences. A greater number of citizens and extent of territory may be brought within its compass. With a republic, avoids the dangers of extreme of either tyranny or mobocracy. It results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress is the standard form of government throughout the world. Now, a republic is a form of government under a constitution which provides for the election of an executive, the legislative body, who, working together in a representative capacity, have all the power of appointment, all power of legislation, and all power to raise revenue and appropriate expenditures, and are required to create a judiciary to pass upon the justice and legality of their governmental acts and to recognize certain inherent individual rights. Take any one or more of these four elements and you are drifting into autocracy. Add one or more to these four elements and you are drifting into democracy. Now, that was a quote by Atwood, section 121, superior to all others. Now, autocracy declares the divine right of kings. Its authority cannot be questioned. Its powers are arbitrarily administered to the people and has been repeatedly tried without success. Our constitutional fathers, familiar with the strength and weaknesses of both autocracy and democracy, with fixed principles definitely in mind, defined a representative republican form of government. They made a very marked distinction between a republic and a democracy, and said repeatedly and emphatically that they had founded a republic. Madison, in the Federalist, emphasized the fact that this government was a republic and not a democracy. The Constitution makers, having considered both an autocracy and a democracy as undesirable forms of government, while a republic promises the cure for which we are seeking. In a democracy, the people meet and exercise the government in person. In a republic, they assemble and administer it by their respective agents. That is a quote by Madison. Section number 122. No direct action. Now, under the representative form of government, there is no place for direct action. The inherent characteristics of a republic is government by representation. The people are permitted to do only two things. They may vote once every 4 years for the executive and once every 2 years for members of the legislative body. Section 123, methods of representative government. Constitutional government may be set up under either a written or an unwritten constitution. An unwritten constitution consists largely of customs, precedents, conditions, and understandings, and is constantly changing. Any party in power may enact legislation materially affecting the methods of government and political rights of citizens. A written constitution, in the United States, the rights of the people are fully protected and the functions of government strictly defined in a written document, the Constitution. It is called a rigid constitution because the legislative power has no authority to change it. It is the subject to amendment only by the authority and action of the people through their representatives in Congress. The Congress, whenever 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states, shall call a convention of proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states, or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as one of other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no state, without its consent, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. That would be the Constitution, Article 5. Now, since the adoption of the Constitution, our nation has increased in population from 3 million to more than 125 million and has developed from a wilderness to the greatest industrial nation in the world. Little side note, remember, this was written back and published back in 1928, that 125 million has now since grown to like over 330 million people. So it's 3x'd here, basically. Okay, hold on. I gotta turn this other screen off. It's bothering me. It keeps flashing at me. Don't like it. All right. The adequacy of our Constitution is evidenced by the adoption that of only 91 amendments to modify the principles set forth in the original document. Now, as a wall of protection, our written Constitution stands between the people and those who, through lust for power, or the temporary passions of the moment, or for any other reason, would trespass upon the rights of person or property. Section 124, consent of the governed. The original desired of the colonists was only to have a voice in the affairs of government. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated tyranny. From the Declaration of Independence. Now, the situation so developed that the colonists totally dissolved all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain and established a new form of government based upon the consent of the governed. That would be the people. Consent in the drafting and approval of the instrument of government and its subsequent amendment was a new feature. Section number 2125. The American Bill of Rights. When the Constitutional Convention was drawing to a close, several members who opposed the adoption of the Constitution suggested a number of amendments which they declared would make the Constitution acceptable to them. While the Constitution already contained many provisions for the protection of the rights of the individual citizen, various states desired that it contain further written stipulations that would remove every possibility of doubt and prevent disputes by leaving no matters of inference, implication, or construction. It was contended that the provision of the suggested Bill of Rights contained various exceptions not granted, and why declare that things shall not be done which there is no power to do. The tyranny, and this is a quote by Madison, the tyranny of legislation is a most formidable dread at present and will be for many years. That of the executive will come in its time, but it will be at a remote period. End quote. Subsequently, many of these features were incorporated in the first 10 amendments adopted in 1791 as supplements to the Constitution and are called the American Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments embodied guarantees and immunities which are inherited from our English ancestors. That was from the Supreme Court of 1897. Section 126, enumeration of constitutional rights. Individual rights formally guarded by the original constitutional provisions. No ex post facto laws, no bill of attainder, no suspension of privileges or of habeas corpus, trial by jury and at places where the crimes were committed, definition of treason and limiting punishment, guarantee of immunity and privileges of all states to the citizens of each state, and no religious test before admission to public office. To which the Bill of Rights added, right of peaceable assembly and petition to the government for redress of grievances, freedom of religion, speech and press, right of the people to keep and bear arms, militia, quartering of soldiers only as provided by law, protection against unreasonable searches, right of accused to indictment by grand jury with certain exceptions, no compulsory testimony against self, no deprivation of rights without due process of law, no confiscation of private property for public use without just compensation, the right of a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury, right to demand information concerning the nature and cause of accusation, to be confronted with witnesses against him, compulsory process for obtaining witness in his favor, have assistance of counsel for defense. Again, notice it says counsel for defense, not a lawyer, a bar lawyer for defense. Have assistance of counsel for defense. Counsel can be anybody. The right of trial by jury in suits of common law where value in controversy shall exceed $20, protection of verdict of said jury, no excessive bail required, no imposition of excessive fines, no infliction of cruel and unusual punishment, rights retained by the people shall not be denied nor be disparaged, and powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states or to the people. Section 127. Government by representation. The framers of the Constitution were opposed to direct government. The remedy sought was to be found in representative government. Madison declared that the object to which their efforts were to be directed was how to prevent a majority rule and to preserve the spirit and form of popular government. The representative form of government was their answer. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government. That would be from the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4. Let me repeat that. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government. Again, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. Sovereignty was placed in the hands of the people. No authority was delegated to any department, either of national or state government, except by the people through the provisions contained in the Constitution. A quote from Cooley. There could be no question that by a republican form of government was intended a government in which not only would the people's representatives make laws and the agents administer them, but the people would also directly or indirectly choose the executive. Section 128. Compromises. In the establishment of our dual form of government, a spirit of compromise prevailed. The instrument offered by the makers of the Constitution was the result of compromise, especially in regard to the matter of representation. The smaller states demanded equal representation with the larger. The compromise established two houses of Congress, the Senate, in which the state was given equal representation, and the House of Representatives, in which the membership was apportioned to the population. The functions of the two houses of Congress were specifically stated and their powers definitely limited. Section 129, separation of powers. Now, the members of the convention of 1787 feared that the oppression of highly concentrated power, whether on the part of the individual or the ascendancy of a parliamentary majority, any suggested scheme to be satisfactory must limit the power of government rather than expand it. Their plan of government provided for the division of power into three departments: a legislative body working together in a representative capacity, having power of appointment, power of legislation, power to raise revenue, power to appropriate funds for public expenditure; an executive department whose duty was law enforcement and administration of the departments; a judicial or law interpreting department, at the head of which stands the Supreme Court. Section 130, checks and balances. These departments were separated from each other as far as possible, cooperating when necessary. Checks were placed upon each, preventing anyone from becoming absolute or despotic. They were likewise balanced against each other in such a manner as to preserve the equilibrium of government. States are balanced against the central government. House of Representatives is balanced against the Senate. Senate is balanced against the House of Representatives. Executive authority is balanced by the legislative. Legislative department is balanced by the executive. Judicial is balanced against the legislative, executive, and state governments. Senate is balanced against the president in all appointments to offices and all treaties. People hold a balance against their own representatives through periodical elections. Among the curbs and restrictions of the powers of the central government, the strongest checks are as follows: establishment of a smaller legislative body with less changing personnel and longer terms based on equality of representation, having coordinate legislative authority, with the exception of revenue bills, which originate in the House of Representatives, and treaties and appointments, which are committed to the President and Senate; the public sentiment of an intelligent and conservative people; popular elections; and short terms of office. Section 131. I'm sorry, I just got to go to another point. The public sentiment of an intelligent and conservative people. Interesting how it doesn't say the sentiment of an unintelligent liberal people. The public sentiment of an intelligent and conservative people. Interesting. Section 131, federal judiciary. To accomplish the uniform of interpretation of the Constitution, a federal court system was necessary, and it was provided that the judges should be appointed by the president, with the advice and consent of the Senate. Now, through the system of checks and balances, the safeguarding of the Constitution is charged to the Supreme Court. However, every judge in the land is also bound under oath or affirmation to support it and declare void any enactment which violates its provisions. When a state court fails to fulfill this obligation, its action is reviewable and reversible by the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, this system, which makes judges the guardians of the Constitution, provide the only safeguard which has hitherto been invented against unconstitutional legislation. That was a quote by Dicey. The courts keep each authority within its proper sphere, but they have the power to interfere only when a concrete case is brought before them for judicial consideration. Now, in Washington's farewell address, he says, one method of assault may be to effect in the form of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. Dicey, and I quote, says, a Constitution may be undermined by the passing of laws without nominally changing its provisions, violate its principles. Now, one of the exceptional features of the Republican form of government is the independence of the federal judiciary, where jurisdiction extends to all cases arising under the Constitution itself. Cases arising under the federal laws and treaties, and cases affecting ambassadors, consuls, etc., cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, cases in which the United States is a party, controversies between states, cases commenced by a state against the citizens of another state, controversies between the citizens of the same state, under land grants from different states, in cases between American citizens and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. The balance of power have been preserved. A constitution as a whole stands unshaken with but slight encroachments of one department upon the other. Section 132. Delegated national powers. Now, under the plan set up under the Constitution, certain definite powers are delegated to the three departments of government. Among the powers delegated to Congress are to levy taxes, coin money, pay national debts, regulate commerce, establish uniform naturalization laws, establish the post office, provide for common defense, declare war, raise and support armies, provide a navy. Among limitations placed on the powers of Congress are apportionment of representation and direct taxes among the states is determined by population. No money can be paid except by law. All orders, resolutions, and bills must be sent to the president for his consideration. Privilege of habeas corpus shall not be suspended except in case of rebellion or insurrection. Among the powers delegated to the president are execute the laws, commander-in-chief of the army and navy, commission all officers of the United States, grant reprieves and pardons, make treaties by and with the advice of the consent of the Senate, nominate judges of the Supreme Court, give information to Congress to formal messages, sign or to veto orders, resolutions, and bills received by Congress. Section 133. Now listen up. Powers reserved to state and people. The people in Congress can exercise only those powers directly granted them by the Constitution. All powers not so delegated are reserved to the people. The enumeration of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That would be Article 9, which is an amendment of the amendments to the Constitution. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, and that would be the amendment to the Constitution, Article 10, Section 134. Dangers to representative government. Now, whenever the Republican form of government has not achieved success, the difficulty has not been with the system but with its faulty application, and we certainly, stepping away from this, we have certainly seen severe cases of faulty application. In fact, very little application because they've tried hiding this information from us so we can't apply it. Several dangerous experiments have been proposed, such as the initiative, referendum, recall, and the election of judges. Departures from constitutional principles threaten to impair the efficiency of our representative form of government, and if continued, will ultimately destroy it. Centralization. Originally, every influence favored the supremacy of the state as the center of gravity in government. Conferring strong powers on the proposed central government was feared and avoided. What the development of industry, invention, business, and transportation at different sections of the country were brought into such intimate and immediate contact with the knell of the state, sovereignty was sounded, and the supremacy of the Union became inevitable. New and practical problems confront the government, such as the increase of governmental businesses, the rise of technical questions in government, popular demand for greater speed in government action, and increased size and unwieldiness of legislative bodies. Opposition to centralization of power of the national government rests upon the general's general dislike of concentrated power and its destructive influence on our philosophy of government. Sectional and class legislation. Nothing is more repugnant to the American citizen than special or class legislation. The founders of the government sought unity rather than differentiation. The Civil War settled for all time the question of the indissolubility of the Union. The general welfare of the nation forbids sectional or class legislation. There must be no preference to the North, East, South, or West, and our motto should be America for all and all for America. The municipality of laws. Multiplicity of laws. The modern tendency of government is to create innumerable laws as corrective or restrictive measures, appointment of special officers for the enforcement with the consequent restriction of state, community, and personal rights without regard to the fact that the majority is unprepared and or not willing to accept or respond to the restrictions imposed. Relief from encroachment upon the rights of the people will come when each citizen better learns to the art of self-government and exercises his right of franchise. Socialism, communism, anarchy. The problems of capital and labor, employer and employee, cannot be solved by un-Republican methods. The suggestion of special legislation is socialistic and communistic in its theory and wholly repugnant to the American character. Socialism and communism, which negates property rights, anarchy, which negates law, the substitution of direct action, the representative government, the government ownership, all should be avoided as perils that threaten the very foundation of this republic. Ignorance of citizens. Now, Webster said, on the diffusion of education among the people rests the preservation and perpetuity of our free institutions. In the early colonies, one of the first buildings to be erected was a schoolhouse. Here was laid, developed, and subsequently spread the ideals of liberty, and one of the foundation stones of representative government is education. An intelligent and informed citizen is an asset to the nation. The great educational system of America makes it possible for every citizen to best fit himself for the task of life. In the common schools are taught a common language, a knowledge of American traditions, ideals, and philosophies of government. Through education, the barrier that separates the citizen from the greater enjoyment of his freedom is removed, a better understanding of American ideals is established, and the influence of subversive propaganda is in large measure destroyed. Section 135, safeguards. In order to assure perpetuity to our form of government, certain safeguards are necessary against encroachment both from within and without. Direct responsibility of the people. Having derived its just powers from the consent of the government of the United States is directly responsible to the people as the highest authority. Let's read that again. Having derived its just powers from the consent of the governed, that'd be you and I, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this next part closely. The government of the United States is directly responsible to the people as the highest authority. That would be you and I. We are the highest authority, folks. The United States is governed by public opinion, by the ideas and feelings of the people at large. The frequency of elections and the short terms of office give the people control. By reason of this, our representatives are slow to attempt any official action overstepping their bounds of their authority or beyond the approval of their constituency. Restricted immigration. Immigrants who enter the United States to exploit her resources without a thought of contributing a share to the general welfare are a menace to our country. I'm going to repeat that again. Think about the open border under the fake Biden regime. Restricted immigration. Immigrants who enter the United States, or let's just call them for what they are, illegal aliens, who enter the United States to exploit our resources without a thought of contributing a share to the general welfare, are a menace to our country. Many seeking a haven of relief from the oppressions of poverty, ignorance, and restrictions, a place where gain is made easy and burdens made light, come in the spirit of the belief that America owes them a good living, security, and peace, without a thought of the price that has been paid to obtain these blessings or the cost of their maintenance. Against these, American proclaims the fundamental right to close the door, for this is our home, and we have the right to select whom we will enjoy its privileges and bounties. America is basically made and refuses to admit the right to alter the plans, destroy any part of the structure, or rebuild it to their liking. Knowledge concerning the Constitution. For a proper appreciation of our government, the citizen should know what the Constitution is and what it contains. Atwood quotes, "The selection and combination of these elements were a master achievement of vision, ability, and governmental genius on the part of the delegates to the convention." End quote. He should thoroughly understand that the purposes of government as set forth in the preamble to the Constitution, that the Constitution established a strictly representative form of government, and the general provisions regarding amending the Constitution when necessary. All of this is essential to his proper regard for the sterling worth of our beneficent heritage. Excuse me. The only antidote to the erroneous and dangerous ideas of government now rampant through the world and threatening America is a better understanding of the meaning, value, and importance of our American philosophy of government as set up in the Constitution. This will most effectively meet the propaganda of communism in its attack on our social, economic, political, and national institutions, which aim to destroy the family as the foundation of society. Our system of capitalism, which has produced the great economic success of America, a republican form of government, and our spirit of patriotism. The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally, staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. That was a quote by Washington. If in our case, the representative system ultimately fail, popular governments must be pronounced impossible. No combination of circumstances for more favorable to the experiment can ever be expected to occur. The last hopes of mankind, therefore, rest with us. And it should be proclaimed that our example had become an argument against the experiment. The knell of popular liberty would be sounded throughout the earth. And that was a quote by Webster. So, that concludes the reading of Lesson 9. I guess it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was a lot of text, so I read fairly quick. But there's a lot in here. A lot in here that shows the different, types of government. What an autocracy is. What a democracy is. What a republic is. Why we don't want a democracy, why we don't want an autocracy. It gives us no voice. It basically gives us no property. It's the Klaus Schwab way of living. You will own nothing and you will be happy. You will eat the bugs. You will conform to how we tell you to live and conform. Dance, my little sheeple. That's basically what they want. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get this message out there. I'm asking you, not just for me, but for this nation. We need more people to listen to this material. They need to understand what this field manual is. You need to comprehend what this plan really is. There's a lot of people out there, and I've talked about this numerous times, and so has Mike Gill, which, by the way, with Mike Gill, he's working on a movie project, so we're going to try to get him on at a later date, just FYI. I have not forgotten. I've been reaching out to him. In fact, I got to check my messages on X to see if he's responded, because I was curious when his movie project ends. In fact, let me just look real quick, see if he even responded here. Let's see here. No response yet. Okay. So, but anyways, just wanted to let you know he's working on a project right now. So we're going to try to get him on at a later date. But again, like Mike Gill has also talked about, though, and I have been talking about, there's many voices out there and personalities and influences out there that have heavy followings. Just because these platforms have heavy followings does not mean they are giving you solid information. You have to be engaged in self-governance. Well, what does that look like? Well, for starters, you have to self-educate yourself. Now, if you're not much of a reader, that's fine. That's why this podcast is so beneficial to the non-reader. I will take a very important things that we need to know about, like this field training manual, like the Constitution, like the Bill of Rights, or the Fundamental Orders of 1638, and other things that I go over here on the air. And I read it out loud so you don't have to go searching for it, for one, and then having to read it on a screen to try to comprehend it. You can just simply push play and put it on repeat so you can digest the information at the rate that works for you. Everybody has different modes of learning and comprehending and digesting information. Some people can read and speed read and actually take in information quite quickly. I don't operate like that. I have to read it a couple few times personally. I can't comprehend and retain information through speed reading. It's just, that's not how my brain works. But if we're going to engage in this Republican form of government that requires the people to be educated, to be informed, to self-educate, to take initiative, to step away from your Facebook, and to step away from your endless scrolling on TikTok and YouTube shorts, to step away from your Instagram and pick up your earbuds and listen to some good dialogue or monologue here and a reading of what you really should be learning. There is going to come a point, ladies and gentlemen, where the military and their operations, I believe, is going to become a little bit more overt. Have you noticed the significant number of people who have been known in the public eye, like, oh, I don't know, O.J. Simpson? What, he was just the one that was just that recently just died. Yeah, but Jason, he was like 70-something. Yeah, well, you know, there's been a lot of people that have been dying that are quote-unquote stars. I mean, this is just an assumption, but I think these people are getting executed. But that's just me. That's just me, okay? That's just Jason Jones thinking out loud. What's your action step here? What do you need to do? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to get to a point when all this becomes more overt and a large shakeup happens. I'm going to tell you what's going to occur. We're going to be inundated by so many people Once they realize what's going on, we are going to be, and when I say we, the people in General Assembly in different states, we are going to be so overran and overburdened by the number of people who want to get involved. Because when they start realizing, A, what this tyrannical, oppressive cabal de facto governing system has been doing, once people find out more information on that and truth starts spilling into more of the normies' lives and enters in their gray matter in their skull called the brain, people are going to start getting pissed and they're going to want to take action for the first time in their life. We are going to be so busy. And that is the point when I think this podcast is going to blow up, because people are going to be hungry and thirsty for learning everything they can. And I think this period over the last 2.5 years has been, or two, at least 2 years, has been a period for preparation for me to not only hone my skills here, or lack thereof, but to continuously go over this material, because there's going to come a time, I think, where this platform is going to blow up big, just like we're going to have a huge explosive increase in members in all state general assemblies. Because when people start realizing the power that they have always wielded, they're going to want to seek justice. It's like what Q said. These people are not going to be able to walk down the street. Why? Because we're going to start impaneling common law grand juries and trial by jury all over the country. This is why the general assemblies exist, because we impanel the common law grand juries. Do you understand how this works? And because this cabal corporate de facto system has been so resourceful with how far their reach is, even though they are few in numbers, their resources are abundant and almost unlimited. They were able to set up different institutions like the NFL and MLB and NBA to get us addicted to sports. And then if we weren't big into sports, then they poured a bunch of money in the pornography industry and got people, you know, addicted to that and stupid, right? And if people weren't into pornography or professional sports, all these social media apps and movie streaming apps to get you to be entertained and distracted. And then when people started realizing that the mainstream media was not to be trusted, then that's when all these truthers started coming on the scene. Isn't that funny how that works? People start magically realizing that CNN, NBC, Fox News, ABC is all fake news. And then all of a sudden, COVID 2020 scamdemic happens. And then all of a sudden, these podcasters they start popping up like a pimple on a nerd's face in high school. Just a ton of zits just start popping up. Jason, that's disgusting. I know, but that's the best way I can classify these scumbags. That's what they are. They're whitehead little zits that need to be popped and cleared away. They want you distracted. They want you stupid. They want you ignorant. They will give you a ton of truth to make it sound like they are on your side, but what they're not telling you is how to remedy this problem. You notice that? Everybody is so quick to listen to all these truthers. Oh, I found out this, or I found out that. Yeah, and what the hell are you going to do about it then? You learned the truth. Okay, great for you. You woke up, but you're still laying in bed. Are you going to doze off and hit the snooze button in 10 minutes? Or are you going to rip those covers off and yank yourself out of bed and get to work? Yeah, that's great. Great for you. What do you want? A hand of applause? You're awake. Good job. Now get out of bed. Apply yourself. That's what we encourage here at His Hard Line. And one of those ways you can start doing it, and no, it's not because I'm trying to gain popularity here, but because I'm trying to make a difference in this country, share this podcast with your friends, family, colleagues, enemies. I don't care who it is. Ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, don't care. Share it. Start having conversations with people. Start asking people the question, what does Article 4, Section 4 in the Constitution say? Start asking people these questions. Get them to think. I'm going to keep pounding this drum over and over again. Again, when you engage in conversation with people and they start complaining about what's going on with Biden and all the crazy crap that's happening and inflation is through the roof and, oh, I'm not making the kind of money like I should be. It's not keeping up with the rate of inflation. I'm tired of all these illegal aliens coming over the border. I'm noticing them more and more in my state. Crime has been rampant in my area. I don't like what these judges are doing to Trump. And just simply ask a question. Well, all right, John Smith, let me ask you a question. You bring up a lot of valid points, a lot of points that piss a lot of Americans off. Pisses me off. Let me ask you just a quick question. Have you ever read your Constitution before? Have you ever read the Constitution? Well, no. I mean, I skimmed through it, but never really read it. Okay. Just out of curiosity, through your skimming, do you know what Article 4, Section 4 says? Well, no, not really. Okay, well, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government. Okay, so like, what does that mean? Well, it means we need to be engaged. It means we are not a democracy. It means we are not an autocracy. It means that the power is inherent, of course, you know, in the people, in the states, which the people make up the states. A republican form of government. We self-govern ourselves. We do that through the Assembly of States. Do you want to learn how? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, then give this guy an email. His name is Destry. You can email him at contentmanager1@yahoo.com. And there's a call, an education call that happens weekly in Georgia. He can get you in contact with a woman named Lisa down there, and she heads up the education calls and helps basically roll out a 101, what's going on, what happened in the past, why we're at where we're at, and then how do we move forward as a General Assembly? How do we return our republican form of government? What does that look like? So Georgia does a great job doing that. Get plugged in. We can help you get plugged in. All you have to do is email us. contentmanager1@yahoo.com. Email Destry. Or if you want to email me, I could try to help you out and get you, you know, but Destry is going to be the perfect conduit to get you involved, or, you know, to get you in contact with the right people, either to learn on that education call in Georgia or to get you involved with people in your own local state. Okay. So anyways, I've been talking enough here. So I say let's get to a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, recognizing the need for awakening in our nation. And we pray for a revival of understanding among our fellow citizens and civilians alike, and that they may grasp the importance of reclaiming power and embracing self-education for the greater good. We ask that you grant us the wisdom to never again succumb to oppressive and tyrannical forces, and we ask that you help us remain vigilant in safeguarding our liberties and freedoms and never stray from the path of righteousness. Lord, we acknowledge our shortcomings and the times that we have turned away from you. We're sorry, and we ask for your forgiveness in that. But may we never forget your guiding presence in our lives and keep you at the center of all of our endeavors. We lift up all those who are facing financial struggles, health challenges, marital difficulties, mental hardships, and we ask that you provide them with comfort, strength, and the resources they need to overcome their trials. As we steer ourselves through the distractions and temptations of this world, we ask that you help us to remain steadfast in our faith and committed to serving you and our fellow man. And we pray all this in your Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, share this show. Share this podcast. It's not going to share itself. We can't get this information out there if you're not willing to share this show. Don't forget the website for the National Assembly, www.national-assembly.net. You want to learn more? Go over to that website. Go into the forums. You could self-educate yourself in the forums right there. national-assembly.net. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hard Line, we are firm, we are steadfast, and yes, we are uncompromising. What does that mean? Well, that means we will not allow the enemy to ever cross that line again. It is our duty to hold that line because the enemy seeks to lure you and I into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, and hopelessness. That's not a good place to be at, ladies and gentlemen. Do you like that place? Because I sure as hell don't. The enemy aims to keep us enslaved mentally. It tries to hinder our progress of self-government, of self-mastery, and is trying to destroy our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. And as always, it was a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, where we are people focused. We are driven by the calling to serving you, commissioned to me by our Heavenly Father. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.